Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Kuf Yud Dalib. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis at the very bottom of the page. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna is where we left off at the end of daf Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arnold's wife and children. Also by Mindy and Henry Orlinsky, Lizech Nishmas, Chaim Abba Ben Yosef, Alav HaShalom, Mindy's father, Neshama Shavan Aliyah. Also Lizchusr for Shlema, for Uriel Ben Chaya Esther, a baby who's in the NICU, we should have Rufo Shlema, Bichsoch Shar Chole Yisrael. And also by the Shulman family, for the yard side of Mr. Joel Shulman, Yoel Tzvi Ben Aaron Ruvain, his Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today is the following, pretty much one sugya that takes us from the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis to the middle of Kuf Yud Dalet and Beis, which is the end of the 14th perek, and that is the sugya of katan ochel nevelos, whether Beis Din Mitzuvah Nafrisho or ain't Beis Din Mitzuvah Nafrisho. If a child is doing an avera, such as eating nevelos, is Beis Din under an obligation to try to stop him from doing that avera, or does Beis Din not have to be mafreshim from that avera? We're going to have 12 riyas. Whether Beis Din Mitzuvah Nafrisho or Ein Mitzuvah Nafrisho. That's why it takes up most of the daf. And then, Beis Hashem, we're going to begin the 15th parak of Maseches Yevamos, and the Mishnah is going to talk about under which circumstances a woman is believed to say that Meis Baila. She went on a vacation with her husband, she came back alone, without a husband. So when do we assume that she's believed to say that her husband is dead insofar as she's allowed to marry somebody else, or that we're going to allow her to do Yibam, which is Matir the Yisr of Eishes Achid. And the Gemara is going to discuss a variety of circumstances where we're choshesh that even if she didn't know with 100% certainty that her husband was dead, that she's going to make an assumption that her husband was dead. Meaning, when do we assume that when she's saying something, she's saying it with certitude, and when do we assume that she's saying it only as an assumption because she saw something that would indicate that he was likely to die? So that's going to be in at the very end of the daf. So let's begin again. Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Two lines from the end of the page. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna iksu le'maftchei de be'medrasha. He lost the Bereshus Rabbim. He lost the keys to the base medrash in Bereshus Rabbim and b'Shabbata. And it happened to have been on Shabbos where you're not allowed to carry four amos in Bereshus Rabbim. So he had no way to bring the keys from the Bereshus Rabbim to a Bereshus Hayachid. The Gemara discusses why it's dafka the keys of a base medrash. Meaning the Achronim rather discuss why does the Gemara have to come up with the case dafka the keys of a base medrash. It could have been the keys to anything, right? Keys of a base medrash indicates that there's something about the fact that it's for a dvar mitzvah, and maybe the fact that it's a dvar mitzvah creates a greater tzorech and more reason for heter. In the Chikrei Lev, he discusses this diuk, and he says that it's dafka because it's a dvar mitzvah that they were allowed to do a harama that we're soon going to see. They did a harama in order to make it so that young children would be able to bring the keys, and the only reason they were allowed to do that was because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash. Without the keys to the Beis HaMedrash, no one was going to be able to learn. So anyway, so he came to Rabbi Pedas and he wanted to know, what do I do? The keys are lost. I can't bring them into Rishos Yachid to use them. Beis HaMedrash is locked. So Rabbi Pedas told him, Zil Dvar Tali Vitali Vilitalu Asam. Go bring some young children and tell them that it's playtime, that they can go and play in that area. And Dimashkilu Maisilu. And then when they're playing in the area, they're going to find the keys, and they're on their own, they're going to go and they're going to bring the keys into the Rishos Yachid. So Alma Kasavar, you see that Rabbi Pedas holds Katan Ochel Nevelos Ein Beis Mitzvah Nafrisho. You see very clearly that Rabbi Pedas holds that if a Katan is doing an Aveira, is doing an Isser, like carrying keys from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Rabbim, Rishos Rabbim to Rishos Yachid, you don't have to stop him from violating that Isser Torah. Because otherwise, how could Rabbi Pedas allow the Katanim to violate the Isser of Tiltul Bereshus Rabbim b'Shabbos Elamai? You don't have to stop him from doing that Aveira. And that is the basis of the entire sugya that we're going to see today. Is it true that Ein Beis Din Mitzuvah Nafrisho? Or is it that Beis Din is Mitzuvah Nafrisho? That Beis Din, in fact, has to try to stop the Katan from doing an Aveira. A number of the Gedolei Gedolei HaChronim, Rav Elchanan Wasserman and Kovetz HaAros, the Keren Ora, the Avnei Nezer, they all explain this machlokas, whether Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho or Ein Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho, is based on that which one can raise the following chakira. When we say that a katan is pater from Chiyuvei Torah and from mitzvos, is that because there's no onshim for a katan, but he has mitzvos and isurim like anybody else? It's just that he's not a bar onshim, or is it that he's not included in any of the isurim to begin with? If you hold Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho, that's because you hold that the isur is chal on a katan as well. It's just that the Torah paters him from onshim because he's a katan. So in such a case, Beis Din has to be mafreshim from the isur, because how can you let him just go and do an isur? But if you hold Ein Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho, then you hold the nature of a katan's exemption is not that he's just put from onshim, it's that he's not bechlal mitzvos at all. Now this is all just about Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho as an independent discussion. There is another discussion to be had about the mitzvah of chinuch, meaning it could very well be that even if Ein Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho, that a parent has an obligation of chinuch to make sure that a child doesn't do an avera. The Rambam Shita Hilchos Machlokes Asurus Perek Yudzayin Halacha Chavtes is that even though Beis Din is not Mitzuvah Lafrisho, the father has to stop a child from doing an avera in order to be mechanichim to proper observance of mitzvos. The Ritva quotes this Rambam and says that he's correct, because how could it be that a father has a mitzvah of chinuch, but it's not going to stop him from eating a cheeseburger, right? It's not shayach. Now, eating a cheeseburger may be an extreme example, because over there you have a third factor, and that third factor is timtum alev, that when it comes to eating ochal nevelos mamish, when it comes to eating things that are non-kosher, you also have the additional consideration of timtum alev, the negative spiritual impact that it has on a person to eat something not kosher. But anyway, that's the Rambam Shita, that's the Ritva Shita. The Rashba, however, disagrees with the Rambam, and he says in our sugya it seems that there's not even a chiyuv of chinuch, because it says in our sugya that if the father sees something that's a suffik truma, tumeya, that his son has, he does not have to be mafreshim. And the Gemara brings that as one of the 12 rayas in our sugya about Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho. So isn't that a raya against the Rambam, that even a father doesn't have an obligation? So that really goes to a broader discussion. Even if there is a mitzvah of chinuch on a father, it could be that the mitzvah of chinuch on a father is only for mitzvahs asay and not for mitzvahs los asay. That itself is a discussion in the Rishonim, and that may touch upon what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch. Is the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch to be margil the child in the proper behaviors, so that when he becomes an adult he'll know how to behave and he'll be used to behaving in that way? Or no, maybe the mitzvah of chinuch is that you want him to be mekayim the mitzvos as an einu mitzvah v'yosa, that even though he's not yet mitzvah in the mitzvos, just like a woman does mitzvah shazman grama, a woman takes lulav, a woman hears shofar, she sits in sukkah, she's mekayim mitzvahs an einu mitzvah v'yosa, maybe the mitzvah of chinuch is that midrabbanan we formalized doing Einu Mitzvah V'yosa for Mitzvah Saseh. If that's the case, then it would only apply to Mitzvah Saseh. If it's about being margil him in the proper behaviors, it would apply to Lo Saseh as well. But if it's about being Mekayim the Mitzvah as Einu Mitzvah V'yosa, L'chor it should only apply to Mitzvah Saseh, because it's not shayich to be an Einu Mitzvah V'yosa in a Lo Saseh, right? I can't say that today's, let's say, Erev Rosh Chodesh, right? So there's become a minhag in recent years. I don't think it appears in the Gemara Rishonim, but there's a minhag that people go to cemeteries on Erev Rosh Chodesh. They say in Mansi, the Ribbonitzer Rebbe is very busy. I mean, he's not very busy. He's still, he's buried, but the cemetery is very, very busy on Erev Rosh Chodesh. So let's say I say, I don't want to go to a cemetery, even though I'm not a Kohen, Einu Mitzvah V'yosa, I'm going to volunteer the mitzvah of Tumas Kohanim, that I'm not going to go to the cemetery. That's ridiculous. I don't have an isser of going to a cemetery. I'm allowed to go. I'm not a Kohen. There's no such thing as volunteering a mitzvah. That's a lo saseh. Volunteering a mitzvah only applies to mitzvahs asay. And if therefore the mitzvah of chinuch is about volunteering the mitzvah, then it wouldn't make sense on lo saseh. So this is the discussion. Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho or Ein Beis Din Mitzuvah Lafrisho, and Rabbi Pedas lays down his opinion right at the very beginning that Beis Din does not have to stop a child from doing an avera, and therefore if the child finds the keys in the Rishus Rabbim, he could be the one to carry it to Rishus Yachin, and you're perfectly fine. So now we go through the 12 rayas. Number one, Lema Misayele. Maybe we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Pedas. Because the brisa tells us, Lo yomer adam latino kaveli mafteach aveli chosam, you should not tell a child, bring me the key or bring me the chosam through Rosh Hashanah and violate the Yisra of being motzi mirushal through Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos or the Yisra of tiltal mirushal Shabbos on Shabbos. Ella, manicho tolesh, manicho zorek. Even if you see a child doing an avera, like being tolesh on Shabbos, detaching something from a chuber lekarka, which is an Yisra d'oraisa, you don't have to stop him from doing it. If you see him being zorek for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, throwing something for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to stop him. Because katan ochon levelos, ain bezim mitzvah la frisho. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, that's not a raya. Maybe when he violates Nisr d'oraisa, you do have to stop him. When it says in the braisa that manicho tolesh, manicho zorek, that means tolesh bat shenu nakuv, that what's he doing? He's pulling something out of a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it, so it's already detached from the ground. Zorek bekarmelis rabbanan, he's being zorek, not in a real Rosh Hashanah, but in a karmelis rabbanan. Maybe only when he's violating his isurim d'rabbanan ain bezim mitzvah la frisho. But maybe in a chinami when he's violating daraisas, based in his takum mitzuva la frisho. So says Gemara, raya number two. Tashema. Ovid chavim shabal lichabos. The Mishnah Masech Shabbos Tav Kuf Chafal tells us. If an ovid chavim comes to put out a fire on Shabbos, ein om lo kabei, you do not tell him the Rabbanan Asra Amiru l'nachri. So you're not allowed to tell him to put out the fire, because then it's considered that he's doing it with your instructions. But if he's, or al techabe, or if he comes to put it out on his own, you don't have to tell him not to do it. If he's doing it on his own, you don't have to stop him from doing it. Mipnei she'en shvisa so aleihem. It's not your responsibility to make sure that the Nachri doesn't do Malacha on Shabbos. But Katana Balechabos, but if a child comes to put out a fire, Omrim lo al techabe. Not only can you not ask the child to do the Avera for you, if he's about to do the Avera, you have to stop him from doing the Avera. Sheshvi sasu aleihem, because you have to watch over the Katana and make sure that he doesn't do an Isser. So you see that when he's violating an Isser, based in Mitzuvim Afrisho against Rabbi Pedas. Rabbi Pedas said, you don't have to stop him. Here in Masechet Shabbos it says, the child is about to put out a fire, you must stop him. So says Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan ba'osa al das aviv. No, it's not a raya. Maybe that's a case where the father's standing right there, and the child sees that the father really wants this fire put out. So that's where you have to stop him, because then he's doing it ki'ilu is your shliach. He's not doing it on his own. But maybe by a regular katan, where he's just doing something on his own, he's eating an avela because he's hungry, and not because you're happy about it, and you never gave him any indication that you're happy about it, then maybe in such a case, ain based in Mitzuvim la frisho. The Maisa of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, where he told the Tinok and Tinokos to bring the keys, he never told them that he lost the keys. He never told them that he can't get into the Beis Medrash. He never indicated to them that he wants the keys. But maybe in Echinami, had he indicated that he wants the keys, then it would have been Aser. So says the Gemara, but the Seif of the Mishnah talks about a Katan who's doing Aldas Aviv, meaning if that's the case, that it's talking about a Katan doing Aldas Aviv, the Kavasag Ovid Chavim, and we could explain the Reisha of the Mishnah, which talks about the Ovid Chavim, meaning we had two cases in that Mishnah on Shabbos, the guy putting out the fire and the child putting out the fire. So we said, oh, the case with the child putting out the fire, where you have to stop him, is where you indicated that you're happy about it. So it must therefore be also true that the case of the guy putting out the fire is where you also indicated that you're happy about it. And yet, what did it say? It's Dos Al Das Yisrael, and we said that that you don't have to stop him. You could let him put it out. Well, Mishari, is that true? If he's doing it with your shlichus, he's doing it for you. He knows that you're happy about it. You don't have to stop him from doing it. Says Gemara, you don't have to, because of Chav Madaita Dinafshei Avid. Even though he knows you're happy about it, he's doing it because he thinks you're going to reward him. So he's not doing it to make you happy. He's doing it because he thinks he can get paid for that, and that's therefore not considered that he's doing it with your shlichus, and therefore you do not have to stop him from doing it. So in says Gemara, let's bring another raya to Rabbi Pedas that Beis Din Taka does not have to stop him. Toshima. The Braisa tells us that the Chacham are always concerned that if you buy produce from an Am Haaretz, that maybe he didn't take Trumas HaMaisros from it. Meaning even though Rov Am Haaretz Ma'asrim Heim, most Am Haaretz do take Trumas HaMaisros, there's a concept called Demai that we're Choshesh, that a Miul Am Haaretz don't take Trumas HaMaisros, and that's the concept of Demai. So it says, Ben Chaver, if you have the child of a Chaver, someone who's trusted in Trumas HaMaisros, Sheragi Leilich Eitzel Avi Imo Am Haaretz, but he goes to the Babi and Zaydi's house, and is maternal grandfather is an Amaretz. So in Choshen Shami Achilenu Dvarim She'inu Mesukadim. You don't have to worry that Bubby and Zaidi are feeding him produce that doesn't have Chumas and Maisus taken from it. But Matzah Biyado Peros, if the father sees that he has Peros and he doesn't know if they're Mu'usar or not, Ein Zakuklo. You don't have to stop the child from eating the Peros. So you see that even though there's a Suffolk that he might be eating an Isser, you don't have to stop him. Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin Afrisho. So Rabbi Yochanan B'demai Hikilu. Rabbi Yochanan says that's not a Raya, that's only about Demai. Demai is only an Isser Drabanan. Mido Raisa, we assume Rabbi Amaretz do take Maestros. So of course we're going to be Mekel on an Isser Drabanan where there's a rove that it's actually the Maestros are taking. You can't bring a Raya from there to Bezdin Mitzuvin Afrisho by Yisurim Daraisa. So ask the Gemara and Rabbi Yochanan El Taima de Demai. Ooh, so it sounds like the reason you don't have to stop him is because it's only Demai. Havadai Baila Surei. But had it been Tevel Vadai, then you would have to stop him. You would have to take Maestros from it because Bezin is Mitzuvah Lafrisho. Aye, but Vam Rabbi Yochanan Bosal Das Aviv. But isn't Rabbi Yochanan the one that told us about the Katan who's putting out the fire that the only reason you have to stop him is because he's doing Al Das Aviv? But when he's not doing Al Das Aviv, Bezin does not have to stop him. So which is it? Rabbi Yochanan himself is giving us two conflicting indications. On the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan tells us that only if a child is putting out a fire, al das aviv, you have to stop him. But if he's putting out a fire on his own, let him do it. It's all right. He's allowed to do the aveira. It's not your problem. Yet over here, when it comes to demai, it sounds like if it was real tevel, you cannot let him do it. You do have to stop him. So which way does Rabbi Yochanan hold? Rabbi Yochanan is not telling us what he holds. What Rabbi Yochanan is doing is he's telling us that we don't have rayos from any of these places. So he's showing us that you don't have a raya that bases in Mitzuvah Lafricho, and you don't have a raya that ain't bases in Mitzuvah Lafricho, because logically you can reject each of these rayas. But Rabbi Yochanan is not telling us his shita over here. So it says, let's try to bring another raya. Tashima. Ben Chaver Kohen. Let's say you have a young child of a Talmud Chacham who's a Kohen, who's careful about Tumentara, who goes to his maternal grandfather, who is a Kohen, who's Nama Aretz, who's not does not guard the Tahara of his produce. So in Choshen Shamiach Lenu Truma Temeya, you don't have to worry that Zaidi's feeding him Truma Temeya, Matza Biado Peros in Zakuklo. And if you see that he has Peros that he got from Babi and Zaidi's house, you don't have to take them away from him because maybe it's Truma Temeya. So you see that even by Chashash Isser Daraisa, you don't have to be mafreshim from an Isser. So it says, Mara b'trumah d'rabanan. Now that's talking about trumah d'rabanan, that even if they became tamei, they're only asr mid'rabanan. And therefore, everyone would agree that you don't have to be mafreshim from an Isser d'rabanan. But maybe, if it's an Isser Daraisa, then Taka Beisdin is Mitzuvah Lafrisho. Then maybe Beisdin would actually have to be Mitzuvah Lafrisho. They would have to stop him. So it says, Mara Tashma, okay, let's try another raya, that if a katan is violating an Isser, that Bezin does not have to stop him. Yonek Tinok, a child of a Jewish woman, could be Yonek Vaholich Me'avodos Chavim. He could nurse from a non-Jewish woman, Umi Behema Temeya, and also from a Behema Temeya. When there's no way to nurse him, Beheter, you can give him from Behema Temeya, even though the Chalav of the Behema Temeya is Aser to drink, Minatara, to Yotze Mina Aser. Chalav of a non-kosher animal is not kosher. Pig milk is absolutely not kosher. But if that's the only thing that can help this child, so then that's what he needs. Vein chosh, I think there's one of the formulas that actually has some pig in it for babies that have very sensitive stomachs. So one is a common shayla that we get where the doctor says the only formula the baby's able to handle, back in the day where formula used to be available, so they would say the only thing that the only formula the baby's able to handle is a particular formula that mamish had treif in it. So but over here there's talking about the actually suckling from the animal, from a behemoth tomato. Vein chosh and bionik sheketz. We don't have to be choshesh that it's usher to take something that's usher min haTorah, because you're not being machil him the iser biodayim. But you cannot biodayim feed him non-kosher things. Umikulan, from all the behemoths that you're usher that you're not allowed to eat, yonik ma'am, you're still allowed to be yonik the milk, even though it's usher to drink. Vafilu b'Shabbos, and you're even allowed to do that on Shabbos, and it's not usher. It's not going to be usher on account of milking on Shabbos, because you're not being machil the child. The child is doing it it on his own. Ubegadol aser, but for a gadol would be aser to even from a kosher animal on Shabbos to milk an animal on Shabbos. Abishal omer nogin yinush yonkim mibehim matar biyomtov. Abishal says that even though on Shabbos it's aser to be yonik, on Yom Tov we weren't choshesh for the isra of chaliva. So how's this raya katani miyah? Because it says in the brayso of Bifavish that a tinok is yonik from behemat tameya and ein choshen biyonik shekets. We're not worried about the fact that he's having something that's ma'achalos asuros. Apparently, even though he's eating ma'achalos asuros, ein beizin mitzuvan la'afrisho. We do not have to stop him. So says Gemara, hasu mishum sakana. No, over there, if he's going to die if he doesn't drink. So it's pikuach nefesh. So of course, ein beizin mitzuvan la'afrisho in such a case. In fact, the Gemara, ihachi, well, the case is that it's pikuach nefesh, gadol nami, then even an adult should be mutter, and it said beferish in the brisa that it's aser for a gadol to do so. So says Gemara, no, gadol bayu umdana. A gadol, you need to be able to assess whether he'll be able to wait till Motzai Shabbos. You can't just let him do it. Even though he's a chola that's very, very ill, you have to make an assessment and see if he could wait till Motzai Shabbos. But so says Gemara, okay, well, katanami bayu umdana. Shouldn't we have to make the same assessment for a child before we let him eat or drink non-kosher milk? So Amar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, stam tinok mesukanei tzel chalav. We assume that the need that a child has for milk is so great that it's automatically considered to be a sakana. So that's the assumption that it's an automatic sakana. Now it's interesting, one of the things we mentioned is that a tinok is yonek from an avedas kochavim. The Rashba quotes the sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel, who learns from the Brisa that quotes that says this din of chalav from an avedas kochavim together with chalav of a behema temeya, and it's only also mishum sakana that you see from here that there's an isra of getting a non-Jewish wet nurse, that from an avedas kochavim a baby is not allowed to nurse from an avedas kochavim. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's shita that the Rashba quotes, but the Rashba disagrees and he says, no, what difference does it make whether the milk comes from a human Jew or a human nachris? The whole thing is that there's an isra to have a behema temeya, milk from a pig is aser. The brisa that puts these two things together, it's not because they have the same din that they're not the same halacha. The fact that that they're together, one din of being yonik from an avedas chavim, even though there's no choli, and the second din of a behema tamei is talking about when there's sakana. So it's talking about two separate dinim. So that's what the Rashba brings a raya. He says from the fact that there's a machlokas in the Gemara of Avodazar Dav Chavav, if it's aser to be yonik from menekas nachris because they're choshul al shvichas damim. So apparently the whole concern was in Mesachas Avodazara is that you give your baby to a nachris, to an avedas chavim wet nurse, she might kill him. But it doesn't seem that there's any concern about the milk itself, about the kashrus of the milk itself. So therefore you see that it's mutter to be yonik from an avedas kochavim. And he says that even though midina it's mutter, says the Rashba, but still you shouldn't do it because it's midas chasidus and midas rizus that we're better off being fed from our own. And that's a better way to train a child in doing mitzvahs. That's what the Medrash Rabba tells us, famous Medrash Rabba, that Moshe Rabbeinu refused to take milk from a nachris, and that's why when the Bas Paro had to find someone to nurse him, she had to find menekes mina ivrios in order to feed him, because the Gemara says, the Medrash says over there, Pesha asl the daber emashchina, the mouth that one day is going to speak to the Shechina, it's pasnish that it's going to be yonik. It's interesting, the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch that's why we don't give our babies to non-Jewish wet nurse, based on that Medrash. So that's where Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer, in Emes Yaakov, says, I don't understand the Raya. We don't give to non-Jewish wet nurse because of that Medrash. The Medrash says, Pesha asl the daber emashchina. Everyone thinks their kid is such a tzaddik, but how many of them are going to be Moshe Rabbeinu? They're not all going to be also the daber emashchina. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, no, you have to raise your child ki'ilu, he's going to be also the daber emashchina. You never know. A lot of times the kids that make it are not the kids that you would have predicted would make it. That become the ones that are also the daber emashchina. We have to raise our children with the with the expectation, with the hope, not expectation, but with the hope that one day they may rise to tremendous levels of spirituality and therefore give them every opportunity on a spiritual level. Okay, back in the Gemara, so once we had mentioned the Brisa about a katan ochel nevelos, so the Gemara explains the rest of the Brisa. That we used to be yonik from a kosher animal on Yom Tov. Well, what's the case exactly? If it's a situation of sakana,
Shabbos Nami, then you should be allowed to be Yonik even on Shabbos as well. V'idalaka sakana, if there was no sakana, feel be Yom Tov Aser, then it should be Aser to do so on Yom Tov. So it says, well, lo tzricha di'ikat sa'ara. There's a tzar of being thirsty. V'kasavar, and Abishal holds that it's mutter when you're very thirsty, and in tzar, it's mutter to take milk from a kosher animal on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. Because mefari kalachar yad, who when you're Yonik directly from the animal, that's it's considered to be doing the malach of mefarek with a shinoi. So Shabbos diser skila gazer rabbanon. So kalachar yad is only going to be nisid rabbanon. So Shabbos, which is diser skila the rabbanon, goes there even b'makom tzar. But Yom Tov diser lav malach on Yom Tov is not nisir skila. Malach on Yom Tov is only in nisir lav. Lo gazer b'rabbanon. The rabbanon were therefore not gozer even in a kalachar yad situation. Now I said the malacha of mefarek. There's only one little problem. If you look through your list of lamatas malachos, you will not find a malacha called mefarek. But milking an animal is aser mishum mefarek. So what exactly? What malacha is that that one is violating? So the Gemara calls it mefarek. Rashi Masechta Shabbos says that it's a tolda of dash. Mefarek means to detach, and therefore it's like a tolda of dash. Tosus asks, well, why do we allow kalachar yad? The Gemara says, "Ein disha ele b'gidulei karka." A behema l'gavi yisurei Shabbos is not considered gidulei karka anyway. So, if it's a tolda of dash, then behema shouldn't be subject to the malacha of dash. So Rashi quotes Yesh Mefarshim that kavana that mefarik is not dash necessarily. Maybe it's a tolda of kotzer. A lot of questions on that as well, because it's not mechuber lekarka. How could there be kotzer when it's not mechuber lekarka? In addition to that, Tosa Rush points out that the Gemara in Shabbos says that if you're zorik something at a dekel and tamarim dates fall off of the dekel, you're chayiv mishum tolesh and mishum mefarek. The implication is that those are two separate things, that mefarik and tolesh are not the same thing. So there's a third sheet. The Ravina Tam sheet is that the issur of milking mishum mefarik means that it's a violation of mimachik, because you're smoothing out the udder of the animal as you're squeezing the milk out of it, out of the animal. The Agleta, so the Re asks on that sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that you're allowed that you're allowed to milk if the milk is going directly into food. But if the issue is what you're doing to the udder of smoothing out the udder, then there should be no such heter of the milk going directly into food. The Agleta tries to work on that. Then the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted Masechta Shabbos, another possible sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that maybe it's a violation of borer. The Achronim have a hard time with that one as well. First of all, it's a stira in Rabbeinu Tam. He said that it's mimachik, and now he's saying that it's borer. But aside from the fact that it's a stira in Rabbeinu Tam, the choliv is chayiv mishum mefarik, and the Gemara says in the very next line in Masechta Shabbos, and chovetz is chayiv mishum borer. So apparently mefarik and borer are two separate things. So other Rishonim say, no, it's gozes. That's what milking is. Because it's just like when you shear off the wool from a sheep, from a live animal, and the wool replaces itself and grows back, taking the milk out of a live animal, and it's going to replace itself, it's going to grow back. So it's a violation of gozes. All right, a lot of different possibilities. It tells you that it doesn't fit really neatly into any category, but it fits loosely into many categories, which leads you to believe that there's good reason for it to be usher. So anyway, says Gemara Tashma, let's try to bring another raya about this din of Bez Mitzvah and Free Show, or Ein Bez Mitzvah and Free Show. So the pasuk says, when it talks about the Yisra of Achilas Shratim, Lo Sochlum Ki Sheketeim. So the Chor, it's an extra pasuk, because the pasuk already said a lot of Yisurim relating to Shratim, right? The pasuk already said that Kol Holei Chal Gachon, Kol Holei Chal Arba, Kol Marba Raglayim, L'Chol Shoy Shoy Zolars. So it already told us a lot of Yisurim of eating Shratim. So the Chacham Darshan, Lo Sa'achilum Lahasir Gedolim Alektanim, that not only is there an Isser for a person to eat Shkatzim or Masim, it's Usser for a Gadol to feed a cut on such things. So my love, doesn't that mean that even if the child's eating it on his own, based in Mitzvah Nafrisho, you have to stop him from eating it? Says Marlon, no, this is a separate Isser. This is an Isser that you're not allowed to provide a child with that which is Usser. You're not allowed to directly feed him something that's Usser. But not that you're Mitzvah Nafrisho. Tashma says, I'll bring you a similar raya. Pasuk says with regard to the Isser of eating dam, Kol nefesh mikayim lo socha dam. Lazar gedol na lektanim. So my love, dami lo sochlu. Doesn't that mean that if you see a child about to eat dam, you have to stop him? Lo, delalis v'lubi adayim. Nah, it just means that you're not allowed to feed him. Tashma says, well, I'll bring another raya. Emor v'yomarta. Pasuk talks about tumas kohanim. It says emor l'kohanim b'nei Aaron v'amarta lehem lev shlo yitama ba'amav. So he's not allowed to be mitami to a mace. So the v'yomarta is extra. It already said emor. So lahasir gadol malak tanim. That's to tell you that the adults have to make sure that the ketanim don't become tami lemeis. My love dom l'loti tamut. Doesn't that mean that the adult has to tell the child, do not do that? He has to be mafreshim beizim mitzufim lafreshal. Lo, the loti tam lo biyadayim. That's not a raya. It just means that the gadol is not allowed to be metame the katan biyadayim. He's not allowed to directly be metame the katan. So in all three of these cases, when it comes to achilas shratzim, when it comes to achilas dam, and when it comes to tumas kohanim, we see a din of los achilim, that you're not allowed to feed him, to provide him with these three isurim. But why does the Torah have to tell me that same din of los achilim in all three of these cases? So tzrichi, we need all three. Diashmin shkatzim, if it only would have told me shkatzim, you're not allowed to feed him biyadayim, mishum di isurim b'mashu, because the shekets is so chamer that it's all asur even b'mashu, avul dam de adik revius emalo. But dam, it's only, you're only chayiv if you have a revius of dam, so I would think that there's no isur of los achilim. Wait, shratzim is an isur b'mashu? So it says Rashi on the top, bika adosha kitumasan, that just like tumas shratzim is bika adosha, the isur of achilas shratzim is also bika adosha, and adosha is very tiny, a little lentil is very, very tiny. So that's what it means, a mashu. It doesn't mean literally a mashu. It means a shear of a kadasha. Tulsa says, what on earth is Rashi talking about? You look through all of Shas, while the Isra of Tumas Shratzim is Bekadasha, the Isra of Achila Shratzim is Bekazayis. It's not Bekadasha. Rashi made up a din over here, that there's a din of an Isra Achila Shratzim Bekadasha? No, it's always Bekazayis. What then does the Gemara mean when it says that it's Bemashu? He says, this is a different din. This is a din that we know of called the Beria, that whenever you have a full creature, a full item, a full natural item, even if it's very, very tiny, but it's the full thing, then it's Asr as well. It's Ki'ilu, it has a Chashivus. So it has a Chashivus, and therefore it's Ki'ilu, you're eating a Kazayas of it. So whereas all Yisurei Achila are Bekazayas, when it comes to Shratzim, it's also Bekazayas if you eat chopped up Shratzim. But if you have a full Sheretz, that's why we're so makbid about cleaning all the vegetables for bugs, and get it, because any full bug is going to be an Isur D'oraisa, even though it's so tiny. It's not a chatzi shir, it's mamash shir shalim, because it's a beria. If you were, I think they used to say, I don't know if they still say, they used to say that frozen vegetables weren't as much of a problem, because they said when they would freeze the vegetables, the bugs would become so brittle that they would fall apart. So even though there may be bugs in there, but then they can become batal b'shishim, because they're not a beria. But a beria can never become batal. A beria always has its own chashivas. I think they used to say that there's certain bugs that would infest, I think it was berries, that they assumed that when they would freeze them, their eyeballs would pop out. So that would make them no longer a beria, because they were no longer complete. I don't know if that was true or not, but that's what they used to tell us. Okay, v'yash mi'inan dam, and if they only would have told us dam, mishum v'ikakaris, I would say, yeah, dam, you're not allowed to feed a child, because it's nisur karis. Aval shratzim, but shratzim is just a regular lav, emalo, I would think there's no problem of feeding it to a child. V'yash mi'inan hani tarti, and if it only would have told me dam and shratzim, I would say mishum v'yisurin shav b'kol, because those are isurim, the yisur of achilas dam, the yisur of achilas shratzim apply to every Jew. Aval tumah emalo, but tumah is only for kohanim, so I would think that it's not included in this special chomer tikka isur of not feeding it, not providing it for the katan. V'yash mi'inan tumah, and if it only would have told me about tumas kohanim, I would say kohanim shayim mishum deriba behen mitzvos yiseros. I would say, yeah, we're always a little stricter on kohanim. Aval hani imalo, but maybe by the others, we're not going to be so strict. Tzricha, and that's why he needs to tell me in all three contexts that los achilim, that you're not allowed to provide the child with an iser. It just happens to be once we mentioned tumas kohanim, there is an iser we see over here to be metame a kohen. The shach writes in your meaning a child kohen. The Shach writes in Yerodeah, in the name of the Rokeach, that a pregnant Ashes Kohen is allowed to go into an Oel HaMeis, and we're not choshesh that maybe she's carrying a baby boy, and she's being metami, the baby biyadayim, and which would be a violation of this din that we're learning about in our Gemara, that Los Achilim, you're not allowed to be metami him. It says the Shach, in the name of the Rokeach, because it's only a Svek Sveka. Suffolk, maybe the baby's not going to be a Bar Kayama anyway, and even if he is a Bar Kayama, Suffolk, maybe it's in a Keva, and therefore not Mitzuva in Tumas Kohanim. So the Magen Avraham in Orchaim, Sim Shinam Gimel, says, what are you talking about? The baby doesn't become Tame anyway. It's Tuma Balua. It's completely inside the mother. So all sorts of Achronim try to come up with answers. Maybe we're talking about where you're already stuck in his head out, and she's ready in labor. That's quite an ukimta to make in that shot. He talks about a pregnant kohenes. So Rav Shechter has a whole piece in Bikvei Atzon where he explains that the issur of tumas kohanim doesn't follow the rules of tumen tahara, that any hiskarvus lemeis, even if technically on a tumma level it would not be metame, is already included in the issur of tumas kohanim. Vaitu in the Gemara Tashma, another raya. So now we're bringing rayas from the mishnayos we had in our parak. Shnei achin, you have two brothers, echad pikeach ve'echad cheresh. One of them is a cheresh. Nusul l'shtei achios pichos, married to two regular normal sisters. Meis cheresh bal pikachas. So the cheresh dies, which means the nisuin d'rabbanan died, and now you have a yibum d'rabbanan situation for a guy who's married on a daraisa level to her sister. So mayas pikeach bal pikachas. What should the guy who's married midaraisa do? Teitzi mishumachos isha. He doesn't have to worry about it at all. She's this woman that's falling to him with the yibum d'rabbanan is an erva. She's a chos ishto. So not an issue at all. Meis pikeach bal pikachas. But what if the nisum d'oraisa died? So may yasa chirish bal pikachas. What should the guy who's married on a d'rabbanan level do with the fact that he's facing now a yibum on a d'oraisa level? And he's a chirish. So motzi yas ishto beget. He has to divorce his wife with a get. Same way he married her birmiza, he divorces her birmiza. Veshesach vasru liolam. And his brother's wife is going to be asr forever. He's not able to be chalitzer because he can't do chalitzi as a cheresh, and he's not able to be miyabim her because he was just married to her sister. So she's achos krushaso. So ask Gemara, amai motzi asisho, why does he have to get rid of his wife? Tesev gabe, katanochon velasu. Let the wife stay with him, because after all, he's a cheresh. Cheresh is like a katan. We shouldn't have to stop him from doing an avera. Ooh, so don't you see that it's that based in mitzuvah lafrisha that we have to stop him, and that's why we make him give a get? Says, well, no, mishum yisura dida. The reason he has to give her a get is not because of him. She's a pikeach. She's a pikachas. So she's an adult, and we can't let her do the isser. Says Mar Tashma, I'll bring another raya from the case in our Mishnah. Shnei achim pichin. Let's say both men were perfectly emotionally and intellectually healthy. Nisuin shtei achios. They were married to two sisters, achas pikachas, achas chareshes. But one of them was a pikachas, one of them was a chareshes. Meis pikeach bal chareshes. The pikeach bal chareshes died. Mayas pikeach bal pikachas. What does the pikeach bal pikachas do? Nothing. It's an erva. He doesn't have to worry about it. There's no chiyuv yibum whatsoever. But meis pikeach bal pikachas, if the pikeach dies, so the nisuin the rabbanon yields a yibum situation. Mayas pikeach bal chareshes. What should the guy who's in a marriage mid the rabbanon do when the nisuin when he's facing a yibum do raisa? So motzi yasishto begad. He divorces his wife ve'eshesach bechalitza, and then because he's a pikeach, he could actually do chalitza. So he does chalitza on this yevama. But my motzi yasishto begad. Why does he have to divorce his wife? Tesev kabei katanochel nevelosu. She's a chareshes. So let her stay with him. She's a katanochel nevelos. So says Mar, yeah, she's a chareshes, but mishum yisura didei. He's a pikeach, so we cannot allow the marriage to continue. So therefore, it's not a raya that beis din mitzuvah lafrisho. V'yomer Rava, a final raya. Toshma, shnei achin echad cheresh v'echad pikeach nusun l'shtei achayos achas pikachas v'achas chareshes. You have the pikeach married a pikachas, and a cheresh married a chareshes. Meis cheresh bal chareshes, the cheresh dies meyas a pikeach bal pikachas. What should the pikeach do? Tzeitzi mishum achos ishto. Don't worry about it. This woman is achos ishto. Meis pikeach bal pikachas, but if the nisuin d'rabbanan husband dies, mayas a cheresh bal chareshes. What should the cheresh do? Motzi yasishto beget. He should divorce his wife Piramiza the same way he married her. Veishasach vasru liolam, and his brother's wife is going to be asr forever. Now over here, the two people vahacha delavi sura dida ika velavi sura didei ika. She's a chareshes. He is a cheresh, so they both have a din of a katan. V'katani motzi yasishto beget, and we're still not going to let them live together. Now that's a strong raya, says the Gemara. Right? Why are we not letting them live together? They're ketanim that are violating an iser. Ketanim ein bezin mitzuvah lafrisho. So I'm Rav Shmaya gzerim shematoris yivam l'shuk, because we're afraid that if you come to be matir this yivama, then people are going to see that they're living together. They're not going to realize why we're not being mafresh them, and they're going to to say that it must be that there's no zika at all, because the nisun of the cherish, even though it was a nisun the rabbanan, is docha the zika da'uraisa, and they're going to allow the sister of the chereshas, who really needs yibum, to go marry other people shaloka din, and that's why they had to make it that this couple cannot stay together. So let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah in the new parak, parak chamisha asar. Hisha shalcha hiu bailu medina siyam. A woman goes with her husband to medina siyam. Shalom bein olavina. If everything was, they were having perfect shalom bayis, for shalom ba'olam, and there was no wars in the world. Ubav yamra meis bali, and she comes back alone, and she says, my husband died. So Tina said, that's good enough for us. We trust her. Meis bali tisiyabe. And if she didn't have any children, and the brother and the husband had a brother, you would do yibum based on her word alone. But shalom bein olavina umelchama bi'olam. But if they were having good shalom bayis, but there was melchamos in the world, or ketata bein olavina shalom b'shalom ba'olam, or they were not having good shalom bayis, even if the world was b'shalom. And she claims that her husband dies, that has died, in an emenis. She's not allowed to get remarried based on her own say so. We're choshish that maybe she was lying. Rabbi Yudah Omer Liolam in an emenis, Alam Kain Basa Bochu Begadea Kruin, that she really needs to put on a show for us to believe her. She has to come back with torn clothing and crying and everything. Omer Lo Achazo Vachazo Tinase. The Chum said back to Rabbi Yudah, nah, whether she's crying or not, she's allowed to get remarried because we trust her. So Tana Shalom Ben Olavina, Mishim Tukwai Lemisni Katata Ben Olavina. It says in the Mishnah, Shalom Ben Olavina, even though the Chorah, that's the stam. We always assume, unless we know otherwise, that people are having shalom bayis. That used to be the assumption, at least. So the only reason we mention shalom bein olavena is because we wanted to mention the case of ketata bein olavena. Tana shalom biolam, and we mention shalom biolam, even though that's the stam. We always assume shalom biolam. Mishum tekvay lemisni melchama biolam, because it also wanted to mention the case of melchama biolam a little bit weiter. Amar of my time with the melchama mishum da'amri b'dedami. Why is it when there's Milchama, we all of a sudden don't trust her that her husband is dead, because we're afraid that maybe she saw something that would indicate to her that her husband was about to die, and she made that next step in her mind, and she assumed her husband was actually dead. Because she's going to say to herself, what are the chances that all these people are dead on the battlefield, and my husband, Pumt, is the one guy that managed to survive? It's not Shaykh. And Imtim Salomar, Kivin de Shalom Bein Olavina, Natra Adachazia, maybe you're going to say, well, if they're having good Shalom Bayis, maybe she's going to stay there and wait and see. You know, she's not going to let him die alone. Well, Zimin de but maybe there are arrows flying in every direction, and it's dangerous, and she can't stay in the war zone, and she can't stay with him, and she's going to see that he was hit, and she's going to realize, she's going to think to herself, if he was hit, he's for sure going to die. But she's not going to realize that there might have been a medic out in the field that might have been able to help him out. Let's go a little bit weiter. So Rava wanted to say that if there was famine and she claims that her husband died, there's no misassessing that, right? That, if she claims, then we could believe her. Hadar Amar Rava, then Rava said, no, you know what? Even by famine, it could be that she misassesses the situation, that he didn't really die and she only thought he died. Revon Hareu Kamalchama, that it's just like a Malchama. How do we know? Da'idos Kamed Rava, because a woman came to Rava. Amrle Ba'ali Mesparav, she said, my husband died of starvation. Amrle Shaper about the Shizaft Navshich, Salkadai the Behu Porta de Nafisa, the Shafkas Leha. And Rava played a trick on her. He said to her, you know, it's a good thing you got out of there when you did, because obviously it's not Shaykh that he was going to survive with a little bit of flour that you left him with. So it's obvious that you're right, that he must be dead. So Amrlay, she said, oh, you get me. So you understand why I'm saying that he's dead, because it's not Shaykh that he would survive. Now Rava had just got her to admit that she didn't know for sure that he was dead. She was saying, oh, you get it. Of course he couldn't have survived. So Hadam Rava, Ravon, Kuriya, Mimalchama. Then Rava said, that Ravon is that we're more choshesh that she's going to make a misassessment with famine than she will with Melchama. When it's a time of Melchama, if she saw him in the battlefield dying, we're not going to believe her. But if she saw him dying on his bed, even at a Shas Melchama, we have no reason to assume she would have left. She would stay there till he's actually dead. But if it's a time of famine, she's going to have to tell us that she actually buried him, because we do assume she will run away when she's starving and she needs to go somewhere where there is food, and she's going to claim that her husband died even though she doesn't know with absolute certainty that the husband died. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Mapoles and whether Mapoles is Hareu Kamochama or not. Okay, thank you for staying the extra 3 minutes, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Stay tuned to the WhatsApp.